I'd like to invite you this morning over to the Gospel of Luke chapter 17, verse 20. The Gospel of Luke chapter 17, verse 20. The Gospel of Luke chapter 17, verse 20 reads this way. It says, "And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne this morning, thanking you again for the privilege of assembling together in your house as your people. And then, Lord, once again, being reminded that where two or three are gathered together in your name, there are you in the midst. And so, Lord, we thank you for your presence this morning. We ask the blessing of the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts and minds and to guide us into all of your truth. Lord, again, that you might be highly exalted and lifted up and glorified, and our lives strengthened and drawn closer to you and empowered to be the witnesses you've called us to be. Lord, if there's one or more than one that does not have the assurance of eternal life, may you speak to their hearts and understand, Lord, allow them to understand how that you paid the price on the cross of Calvary, that if they will by faith place their trust or faith in you, Lord, and what you did for them, they could be saved even today if they're not assured of that. But then, Lord, for those of us who know you as Savior, may you do a work in our hearts and minds that we might be a witness, Lord, to a greater degree, and that we might influence our families, our church family, and the world to walk with you. Bless, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this morning is simply The Kingdom of God. The Kingdom of God. A lot of people have different ideas about what the Kingdom of God is, and we'll see that here in the lives of the Pharisees and what he was trying to teach the disciples, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this morning we're going to look at two thoughts primarily, and that is the demand of the Pharisees that they made toward the Lord. And then secondly, the words of wisdom and discernment for the disciples. The Lord is always concerned about pointing his people towards the truth and to walk in the truth, but not just his people, but also those that are without the Lord Jesus Christ as well. So look with me, if you will, in verse 20 again, and notice the Pharisees' demand here. They said, "And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation." And the idea here is it doesn't come with an outward show. They were good at making an outward show. They made broad their phylacteries. They dressed up kind of in a pompous way, and they made big of themselves. And the Lord was saying, God doesn't come like that. Or, listen, when Jesus came, he wouldn't have been born in a manger. Amen? He would have been born in a palace. But that's not the way the Lord works. God's ways and our ways are completely different. And so God says, you need me to show you my way. Amen? We won't naturally come to it. So when you hear people say, well,
I know what I believe in my heart. Well, if it's not the Word of God, it's not the truth. We can believe all kinds of different things that we want to believe in our heart. Some people believe that if they're good enough, their good will outweigh their bad. But see, the Word of God says that even our good that we do to the Lord are as filthy rags. Those are discarded rags that a leper had used from their oozing sores. Nobody would want to touch that. And so God says, not our bad, but he says our good is likened unto rags of a leper that have been discarded. And so that puts everything in the proper perspective. By the way, it makes big about why the Lord had to come to die on the cross to give us eternal life. Isn't it wonderful that God thought enough about you and myself that he would come, that he would send his son to take our place? That's amazing. How many of us would give our firstborn, amen? Not for our friends, but for an enemy. The Bible says that we were at enmity with the Lord. We were in contradiction with the Lord, and he came and gave us his son while we were his enemies. So I would have a hard time. I've had friends that I grew up with that I've known since I was 6 years old. And I would dare say, Jessica, you're safe. I would not give up your life, if I could, for one of my friends as much as I... Listen, they're like... I just spoke to one this last week, and he says, man, we had a great neighborhood, didn't we? I mean, we're in our early 60s. Emphasis on the early. But anyway, we grew up since we were 6 years old, and we were talking about our neighborhood, and there's about probably 12 guys there. And he said, we were like a family, and we were. We knew their parents, they knew my parents, and it was just a really good thing. But listen, I would do a lot of things for my friends, but I would not give them my firstborn. Amen? And God, listen, but God gave us his firstborn, right? Not that he always was, but he's the only begotten son. He gave us his only begotten son. Let me qualify that. He was born into this world, but he always existed. And he gave us his son, and not just to give us his son, he died on the cross. He took our sins upon him. That's why the Lord cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me, when he was on the cross of Calvary? Because all of our sins were placed on him, and God the Father turned his back for the only time in history ever before on the Son of God, because God, the holy and righteous God the Father, could not look upon the sin. And yet he allowed that to take place to give us eternal life, to give us his righteousness. That's the only way that we have eternal life. So that's salvation in a nutshell. And if you have any confusion or any thoughts about that, or any uncertainties about that, that's the way to receive it. Lord, I put my faith or my trust in what you did for me to give me. It's a gift, right? We can't give him anything for it. He doesn't want it. You can't. We cheapen it. It becomes a cheap deal instead of a gift. If you buy something, you got a cheap deal. If you receive a gift, that means somebody else paid for it, and that's what eternal life is all about. It's the gift of God to us. We don't have enough to pay him for that. Never will. And so here are the Pharisees, and they've got their own ideas. They're looking at what goodness they can do, and so that's why they miss the Lord. And again, it says there in verse 21, neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Every born again, that's why we have to be born again, child of God, knows that the kingdom of God is within us. We received him. Now listen, that means the Holy Spirit indwells us. That means that we have been saved and we have been sealed. Isn't that great? God has sealed us unto eternal life, and God wants everybody to have that understanding. So they came up with some different ideas. They make these demands of the Lord. There was no humility there, but there was great humility on the part of our Savior, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, to know where these Pharisees were that were in opposition to the Lord, and yet out of love, God dealt with them and gave them the truth. Isn't that good? God is not willing that any should perish. Did you know that? God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance and receive the Lord for eternal life. He doesn't want anybody. And that's going to be important. You'll see that here in just a moment. So let's look at the second thought here. That's the demand of the Pharisees. The second one is the words of wisdom and discernment for the disciples. And we're going to have several parts here. But the first one we want to be concerned about is to beware of the wisdom and words of men. Look at verse 22. And he said unto the disciples, so he's speaking to them, the days will come when ye shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and ye shall not see it. And they shall say to you, see here or see there, go not after them nor follow them. So he's saying the world is going to lead you to do this and to go here and to go there. And the Lord is saying, no, listen, you will know the truth. It's in the word of God. Don't follow the wisdom of the world. You're not going to find the truth concerning the Lord on the news. Amen. You're not really going to find it from mankind. You will find it from the Word of God. That's where it's at. So he's telling them, be careful that you don't be misled. There are people that are genuinely sincere about doing good things, but they are sincerely wrong. There are people that are believing that, listen, I can be good enough to gain eternal life. But they're mistaken, because to do that is to say, Jesus Christ dying on the cross was not good enough. You have to do your part as well. And that's a failure of receiving the gift. If God paid it all, then it's all said and done, right? And so, and we thank the Lord. Listen, that's a good wipe of the brow, saying, man, I don't have to sweat it. I don't have to worry about it. God took care of how much of it? He took care of all of the salvation that we need. So beware of the wisdom and words of mankind. Then notice we find the example of Noah here in verse 26. Verse 26 says this, and as it was in the days of Noah, or it says Noe here, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noe entered into the ark. And the flood came and destroyed them all. And so this was, we're going to go back now to the book of Genesis just for a moment here to see what was going on and what God was doing in the life of Noah. Hold your place right here just for a moment. And let me invite you back over to the book of Genesis just for a moment in the very front of your Bible. Chapter 6 and 7. We'll take a look at that here in just a moment. In fact, we'll start off in Genesis 6, 18. And I want you to see something here. Do you know that God has ordained eternal life, or the way of eternal life, from eternity past? Did you know that? Yes. An eternity past. Before the world was ever created, God knew that you and I were going to fall through Adam and Eve, right? God knew that our sins, we would fall away from the Lord. And our sin would plague us, would keep us from the love of God. And so he made plans for his son to die in our place. Now, you might say, well, I wasn't Adam and Eve. But your life was in Adam and Eve, because they were the first woman and the first man. Just like your life was in your great, 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 however many greats, your great grandfather. Because if your great grandfather would have died, you wouldn't be. Because your life is bound up in your lineage, in your history, is it not? And if you go back far enough, we all come, all of humanity comes from Adam and Eve. You can believe, if you want to, it's a lie of the devil, you can believe that something exploded from nothing, and here we are. And you'll never see an explosion create anything, amen, but a mess. That's what it's good for doing. Anything that blows up cannot create something as intricate as a human body. Would you say the human body is more intricate than any automobile sitting out in the parking lot? Absolutely. And tell me, when has an explosion ever created an automobile? It will never do it, right? That's like saying an explosion in an ink shop will make a dictionary. It will never do it. I don't care how many letters you have. Everything has to be done on order and on purpose in order to create a dictionary. And you and I are more complicated than that. So it's a theory of evolution. And if we have evolved from one animal to another animal to another animal, we have all kinds of fossil records. Please tell me, where are the transitional forms? Those fossils that have been turning from one kind to another? There are none. There are none. And so they might cry, oh, yeah, and they make this little cry out, this Archaeopteryx. I promise you, listen, that's not a transition. It's a bird. They want to tell you it evolved, but it wasn't. It's just a bird. That's the only thing they have. And I would dare say we should have millions. We have all kinds of fossils. We ought to have millions in just one transitional record. Amen? And it's not a transitional record. They just misnamed the bird and tried to say it was a reptile and it grew wings, right? they're sadly mistaken on that. So we have science really concurs and backs up what the Bible says. It was abrupt. The creation was abrupt. That's why they want to say it was an explosion, because it was abrupt. But listen, it was God that said, let there be life. Amen? Let there be light. And so let's go back to the time of Noah, and let's look at how God works. By the way, remember, God said in eternity past, he had planned out salvation, and he knows all those that would come to him in salvation. There is, listen, God predestinated the way of salvation in eternity past, that it would come through the Lord Jesus Christ, and that all those who would believe would have eternal life. But he doesn't superimpose his will in your life and mine. He gives us an option to choose. So there are the chosen ones. The Bible talks about that. Let's not be naive concerning that. But the chosen ones are those who simply make the choice to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you were here this morning, you say, well, I don't know. Well, choose on the Lord Jesus Christ, believe on him, and God will give you eternal life, and you'll be one of the chosen ones. I have no way of knowing who's going to be chosen and who isn't, but God does, not because he chose them before the foundation of the world to be saved, and he chose some to be lost, because again, what do you do with the scripture that says that God is not willing that any should perish, but whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what? Saved. They'll be saved. You got to call upon the name of the Lord, and the Lord does not superimpose his will on anybody. And we'll see that here, even in the book of Genesis. Go back with me here to Genesis chapter 6. Look at verse 18, and God making this promise to Noah because of the wickedness that's in the earth. And look at verse 18. He says, but with thee, speaking of Noah, will I establish my covenant, my promise. So here is God talking to Noah, saying, I'm going to establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark. In other words, his salvation. Thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. Now, listen, they haven't gone in yet. But this was the covenant of the Lord, that if they were to get into the ark, their lives would be spared. By the way, listen, if we are in the Lord Jesus Christ, right, if we trust him as our Savior, we're in him, we are saved forevermore. But we have to be willing to do that. So now the time comes for Noah to, listen, he's made the preparations, he's followed God's directions. Amen? When we follow God's direction, the ark of our salvation will hold us. Amen? Forever. And so everything was built, everything was prepared. And by the way, listen, Noah couldn't have come. In fact, look at verse 1 of chapter 7. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark. Did you see that? Genesis chapter 7, verse 1 right there. Let's just stop right there for a moment. And Noah couldn't have been like this. Noah couldn't have said, well, how about I just stand by the door? You know, I kind of like the world. I kind of like the promise you gave me. So this way I can kind of play around out here. And I'm not going to get too far away. And I'm just going to play around out here for a little while. And when I see it rain a little bit, I'll run back inside. Right? No, that's not the game. You can't play like that with the Lord. Some people are saying, well, I don't know that I'm ready. I don't know what you think you might be ready for. Destruction without the Lord Jesus Christ. Because just like that, something can change in our lives. Everything is going wonderful today, but listen, the next moment, everything can be flipped upside down, can it not? All kinds of tragedies happen every day in life, and God doesn't want us to be fearful, but he wants us to be wise about the truth. Our lives can change in a moment. In a moment. Young people, listen, my wife informed me I am now amongst the elderly. She says, you know, I talked to people, the elderly, and she asked them, just these nurses, well, who are the elderly? Oh, you know, those in their 60s, early 60s or whatever. She says, you're now in the elderly. We discuss you all the time. And so, but listen, young people die almost every day, don't they? Right. Young people that we think they've got their whole lives in front of them. And I just say that because it's a reality. I don't wish that upon anybody. But that's the fact, and none of us have any control over that. So the best place to be is in the Lord Jesus Christ through salvation. The truth of the matter is it not? We're all leaving this world. We're all going to leave this world. We've not put that on our calendar on things to do, have we? We don't want to see that date. You know, I have no fear of where I'm going. The question might be the mode. I hope it's not painful. Amen. But here's the whole thing. We're all leaving this world. And so salvation is not something to be trifled with. Salvation is something to be taken seriously, and that's a personal relationship that you and I have to make with the Lord. And He's already prepared the way, and He's already presented the plan, and He's already given the invitation. Amen? Everything's been prepared by the Lord. Noah, in this particular case, he was the one that followed the Lord's prescription. You and I also must follow the Lord's prescription, and that is simply to believe in what the Lord did and performed on Calvary for our salvation. And that's the best thing. But again, Noah couldn't hem-haw around. But by the way, the Lord said to him, come, didn't He? So if the Lord said, come, where's the Lord? He's in the ark, isn't He? If the Lord, see, the Lord didn't say, go, and I hope the best for you. No, He said, come, and I'll be with you. Didn't Jesus say, I'll never leave you nor forsake you? What a great Savior. So notice what's happening here. He says in verse 1, and the Lord said unto Noah, thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. You know what was righteous about Noah? He wanted to honor the Lord. He wasn't a perfect person, but he was righteous. By the way, the moment you trust the Lord as your Savior, the blood of the Lord, the righteous blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is applied to our account, and we are seen righteous, not flawless, not sinless, but we are seen righteous in the eyes of God. And do you know that nothing stops you and I from entering into the throne room of God and calling upon Him? Listen, reading the Bible better, praying more, doing good things does not give us more of an acceptance before the Lord. It is simply the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Even if we fail the Lord, we have access by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to call upon God. Isn't that great? Listen, which one of us would withhold any good thing from one of our children? What parent would withhold any good thing from their child in their right mind, right? I know there's some crazy people out there, but people in their right mind would want the best for their children. And how much more does God want the best for His children? Without corruption, right? So what happens here? So we see here in verse 1. Now skip over to verse 7. Now watch this. What does it say there in verse 7? And Noah did what? Now, he could have just said, Noah, go, come, and just like a robot, he would have walked in. No, it was an invitation. You know what? That was a choice. And Noah went in. Noah made the choice to go in. That was a choice. Now, I don't have the mind of God, but anytime you see that God foreordained things, He foreordained the way of salvation, and He does foreknow because He's God. Everybody that will put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and those who will not. There are people that are just never going to put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ for whatever reason. They're mad at God. They love the world. They love their sin. They love darkness more than light. These are all things that are spoken of in the Word of God as to why people reject the Lord. But they're going to reject Him. That's just the way it's going to be. But that doesn't mean that they have been marked for that. That means that they have made the choice for that. Because God will not infiltrate. Listen, that's not love. God's not made us robots. You wouldn't want to be forced to love, to marry somebody and love somebody that maybe you have no interest in. That's not the way the Lord works. The Lord wants us to make that choice of our own free volition, to trust the Lord, all because that's our choice, to trust the Lord. We want to put our faith in Him. So notice what Noah does here in verse 7. And Noah went in, and his sons, and his wife, and his sons' wives with him into the ark because of the waters of the flood. This was coming. God told them it was going to come. And so they obeyed the Lord, and they chose to follow after what God was saying. They could have backed out, but they didn't. And so God foreknew that. Before it ever even took place, he knew that. Now I can't even explain that. I can't wrap my little mind around that. But God's ways are a lot greater than my thinking. Amen? Amen. And I just know it to be the truth. But we do find this: everything that they needed, they could not look to the world. It was being destroyed. They couldn't put their hopes in the world. By the way, this world that you and I are in, it's going to be destroyed as well. It's going to be completely destroyed and renewed. What is there in this world that would keep us from walking and following after and abiding and trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as our own personal Savior? What would we give in exchange for our souls? Isn't that amazing? Would you want to be the richest man in this world? The richest man in this world. Own everything instead of having eternal life? Listen, what good is the richest man that is plagued with a disease that's going to take their life? Would you want to trade places with the richest man who was dying? No. By the way, we're dying too. Aren't we? We're going to die. So what does it matter if it's 1 year, 10 years, 50 years? We're leaving. So the greatest place to put our hope is in the promise of God. Amen. And that's exactly what Noah and his family did. Now, they were not perfect, were they? You read later on, you'll see that Noah made him, you know, he fell shy and he had to make things right. And it influenced his family. But God's promises are not based upon, listen, God's promises are not based upon what you and I do. God's promise is based upon what he did for us. Amen. And listen, there's no greater place to put our trust or our hope in. So God, listen, God doesn't want us to play around. As an individual that may not have eternal life, God wants us to put our faith and trust in him. He's not going to coerce us to do it. We can persuade, but listen, there's got to be an activation of God in the heart and mind that causes us to choose the Lord. That's the Holy Spirit conviction that makes it come to light, that makes it a reality in our hearts and minds. I'll never forget, listen, I wasn't interested, believe it or not. Your preacher was not interested in eternal life. I'd heard it before. That's what I told the guy that was witnessing to me, not interested. And he befriended me. I was training him. I worked in the neurodiagnostic field. And we were going from hospital to hospital. And then he befriended me. He left me alone. He was telling me about Jesus and being saved. Told him wasn't interested. And we made friends for a few days. And then he brought it back around. So what do you think life's all about? And I told him, and I've told you this before, what life was all about to me at that point. I think I was 23, 24 years old. And life to me was, you know, get a good education, get a good job, make a lot of money, you know, right? Buy a house. And that's what I kept telling him, because he kept saying, and then what? You know, make a lot of money. And then what? Buy a house. And then what? Get married. And then what? Have children. And then what? He was frustrating me. Grow old. Amen. And then what? And then I just let him have it. I thought, I guess I'll just die. 24, you're not afraid of death. And then he said, and then what? That bothered me. I said, I don't know. And he said, that's why Jesus came and died on the cross for you. And for the first time in my life, I had a real genuine concern for my soul. I didn't do that. If I was left to myself, I would have never done that. God did that through that fella that was kind enough to quiz me on it and confront me on it. Confrontation. We don't like that. And so he began to tell me, I would say, his name was Aldo. Aldo, open up your Bible, tell me more. We'd go from hospital to hospital. He'd be telling me about salvation. And it was a Friday night, May 8th, 1987. He said, he read Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. And told me that salvation was a gift. I never saw it that way before. I always thought I had to do something for it. But my righteousness wasn't good enough. And at that moment, I saw myself lost and undone. And here was my prayer in a car driving down US 1 in South Miami. I said, Jesus, save me. That was it. And do you know that Jesus saved me? You know I did something I never did before. Here's what I did. Thank you, Jesus. I'm driving. I had my hands on the wheel. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And Aldo was in the next seat praising the Lord. He knew what had happened. He knew what had happened. And God saved me and changed my life. Because I wasn't playing games with the Lord anymore. I wasn't looking at the world anymore. I was looking at the end of my life that I was going to face. You know, 24 years old, that just seems like yesterday. It really does. I can't believe so much has gone between that time and this time now. But you know what? Before we know it, we're going to be in eternity. Either in hell or in heaven, but in eternity nonetheless. But we can't play games. Listen, as a child of God, it is important that we submit to the word and will of God for His glory. Or we'll miss out on what the Lord has for us on this side of eternity. There was a man who was wrestling with the Lord, and he was wrestling with the world. Say, child of God. And why can't I do this in the world and still I'm saved? Why can't I do that in the world? I'm saved. Why can't I just live my life here the way I want to live it? And I've got eternal life. And so he was wrestling with the Lord. And why do I have to follow your word completely? Why can't I just kind of do it my way? And so he had a dream. He fell asleep that night, had a dream. And he was in heaven in this dream before the Lord. And as he was there before the Lord, this man, he said, he looked at this man of such majestic mien approaching him. And he asked the Lord, who is this man of such majestic mien? He had known he had been something for the glory of God. I mean, the glory of the Lord was just shining on him. And he said to the Lord, who is this man of such majestic mien? And the Lord said to him, that is the man I intended you to be. I wanted you to see that. That's who I want you to be. Do you know that God has created us for such majestic means? Because He's given to us His Son. And if He has given to us His Son, will He not freely give us everything else we need? And so the Lord wants us to have that. Go back with me here, if you will, to the book of Luke, and we'll finish up quickly here. So we have the example of Noah. We find this established covenant that God made with him. The invitation was given and he followed. He obeyed the call. And that's all that's needed really for eternal life, that we would obey the call because the call was from the Lord. And he obeyed that. And that was the work of the Holy Spirit that compelled him to see the need to trust the Lord, as we need the same as well in our lives. And then what we have here in verse 28 is the example of Lot. Look at Lot. I believe he was a saved child of God. The Bible tells us that. Verse 28, likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, Luke chapter 17, verse 28, they did eat, they drank, just like in Noah's day. They bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone, destruction from heaven. And it destroyed them all of them. They were spared because God sent them a message to get them out of there. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down and take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. He says this, remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot. See, listen, the Bible says if no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. It doesn't say that you're not saved, but if you're looking, but it destroyed Lot's wife. She looked back. She was the implication there was she was longing for what she had instead of the life that God had just given to her and the destruction she was just spared from. So God said, okay, you want what's back there? You're done. Listen, that's not my way, but God has the right to do that. I don't know what her position was with the Lord. But God judged her right there and then. And so God doesn't play games. He's serious. He's merciful. He's gracious. But he is serious as well. And so we find the example of Lot and of course of his wife here. He says, remember Lot's wife. And then notice what he says. Whosoever shall seek to save his life, remembering this now, listen, verse 33. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it. If we try to preserve it. And whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. I tell you, in that night there shall be two men in one bed. The one shall be taken, the other shall be left. Two women shall be grinding together. The one shall be taken, the other left. Two men shall be in the field. The one shall be taken, the other left. Verse 37. And they answered and said unto him, where, Lord? And he said unto them, wheresoever the body is, thither will the eagles be gathered together. And that they're like... vultures, right? They eat dead things, eagles do. And it has a picture of an idea of the what Armageddon is going to be like when the Lord comes back. And so God says, listen, take me seriously. How seriously? I gave you my son. That's how serious. You think it was a serious thing for the Lord to give us his son? You know, there are people that play around with that and mock that, but that was a serious thing for the Lord. It was a serious thing for God the Father. It was a serious thing for God the Son. And it paved the way for the Holy Spirit to indwell the believer today. And so, that's the kingdom of God. There are people that profess to know Christ, but they're not serious with the Lord. And they may know. I'm not doubting their salvation. That's between them and the Lord. But may we not be double-minded. What does the Bible say about being double-minded? The world, the Lord. The world, the Lord. We're unstable in how many of our ways? In all our ways, we're unstable. So we need to be committed to the Lord. Salvation with God is a very serious matter. Amen. Eternal life is a very serious matter. Even as a saved child of God, eternal life is a very serious matter. So if we're in the kingdom of God, by the grace of God, not our power, by the power of the Holy Spirit, may we walk upright accordingly to the glory of God, that we might be the person of such majestic means God created us to be in glory. He wants us to glorify him. And then if you're here and you don't have the 100% assurance of eternal life, God gives the invitation. He says, come unto me. Come unto me. He rejects no one. Know that he's paid the price completely for our eternal soul. Completely. And then completely place your faith, not in him plus you, just in him alone. Lord, I put my faith alone and what you did for me to give me eternal life. And watch what God will do. That's the grace of God. Amen. For the saved child of God, we need it. And for those who may be without the Lord, that's how we receive it. Amen. Would you stand as we prepare for the Lord's invitation? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne, thanking you for your mercy, for your grace. Lord, for the love that you have for us. I don't understand it. I am thankful for it. But it boggles my mind how you can see anything in me to give me your son. And I thank you for that, to give us all, Lord, your son. If there's one here or more than one that does not have the assurance of eternal life, may you speak to them and allow them to know all they need to do is to put their faith or their trust in what you did for them and that you will hold them in your hands and no one can take them out. And then, Lord, for those of us who are your children, may we realize the importance of seeking you and walking with you, that we would be found faithful and an honor and a glory to your name as you have created us to be by your power. Bless the invitation. Speak to hearts and souls as only you can. And we'll give you all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.